Okay, so we got to the top Lamed Tesamed Aleph, right after the parentheses, two lines down. And the Gemara says, Vamar Rava. Rava tells us that Lo Lema Inish Yehei Shmei Rabba. V'Hadar Mivarech, a person shouldn't interrupt and say Yehei Shmei Rabba, take a pause and then say Mivarech. Rather, Ela Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarech Bahadadeh. He's supposed to say it all together, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarech. So, says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Safra, Moshe Shapir Kamris. Very strange. Lashon Rashi says Moshe means Gadol Hador, Shaper Kamris B'tmiya. Is really what you're saying? This is a chiddush you're telling us that Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarech has to be said together. So Rashi doesn't really explain what is the question here.
Because there's no Shem Hashem.
So there's no concern of Shem Hashem. That's the problem. Because as opposed to before,
in the first one there's Shem Hashem, and this one there's no Shem Hashem.
So they say right before we say Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem. So there you can't interrupt. Here there's no Shem Hashem. So certainly you're allowed to interrupt. So what do you mean to say? Ela hasam v'hacha asuke milsahu v'les lemba. So Rashi says, top line, kol asuke milsa, ho'il v'chavanasa ligmor les lemba. Since he intends on completing the sentence, completing the pasuk, this is not a concern. Even, in other words, even if he does pause, it's okay, it's not a problem, because he intended on completing the pasuk. So in terms of the definition, what does Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarech mean? It's a machlokas Rishonim, Tosfos and Brachos quotes that one opinion, the Machzav Vitri says, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarech, very apropos to, these days we find ourselves in near Purim, Yehei means Lashon Yud-Hei, Ka. That Ka Shema, the Shem Hashem of Yud-Hei, should be Rabba, should be complete, because we know that Shem Hashem is not complete until Amalek is completely destroyed. That's what it refers to. And then there's a second bracha, Mivarech, it should also be blessed. According to the Machzav Vitri, there are two separate brachas. So that's why there's such a havmina here to separate the two. And the Tosfos himself says, no, it's all one bracha, that Yehei Shmei, that Hashem's name should be Rabba Umivarech, it's all one bracha, it should be big and grand and blessed.
But I also found it hard, I was reading a slide, that if you call it, once you said Rabba, you already gave an adjective to Shem Hashem, so what's the problem, You're not saying Shem Hashem.
So the Marsha says, if you take the Machzav Vitri's approach, that Yehei is really Shem Hashem of Yud-Hei, that's a Shem Hashem, then you can say, that's why you can't interrupt. You have to have a continuous statement. So it really does have Shem Hashem in this.
No, but even if it does, you really said Rabba. Yehei Shem Hashem Rabba.
So it's not interruption. And even according to the Marsha,
it's not a
half sake of that.
It's not a half sake because you already gave. You didn't, if you would say Yeshmei, and then interrupt and say Rama Bavarach, then you could say according to that
uh-huh. But once you already gave it a certain adjective,
right,
you completed the sentence.
Right.
So, okay. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Malkum Shinagu Lichbol. Those places that have the custom to repeat certain psukim and halo, one is certainly permitted to do that. So Gemara says, Tani Rebbe taught, Kofel Badvarim, you're allowed to double psukim. And Rashi says it's not any pasuk you want. Rather, it's kofel badvarim me'ana v'hala. When you get to Ana Hashem, then you're allowed to start repeating psukim, which we really do that even beforehand. The psukim before Odecha, we already start repeating psukim. So I'm not sure the reason behind this is. But let's see, the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Parta mosif badvarim. He said you could be mosif, you could even do additional things. So Rashi says, Mosif Bab Behalel, Mosif Lechfal Akfeyasa, Rebbe, you don't have to do only from Ana Hashem, you could even before then if you wanted to. So the Gemara explains, my Mosif, what do you mean adding on? Amar Bai, Mosif Lechfal Me'odecha Lamata. So like how we hold from Odecha, you're already allowed to start doubling Psukim, which is what we do.
What's the specific issue of doing, of doubling?
It could be related to the Gemara in Brachos, which tells us that you're not allowed to say modim twice. You can't say shma shma. If you do that, we're mishtakin, so we make him go quiet. So that might be part of it. But that's really only when you're saying something special like shma Yisrael. You're saying the two singular Hashems. That seems to be a contradiction. But here, you're not like saying...
That's it, my kids are marked even not to repeat in Zmiros.
Right. Oh, even during Zmiros?
Yeah.
Right. My guess is they probably are not familiar with the halachas of it.
I wanted to know the makar of that whole.
Right. The issue is if you repeat a word in the middle of a pasuk, that's problematic because you're changing the pasuk. If you repeat an entire pasuk twice, I don't think it's so problematic. If you're repeating words that are simply in a shir, there's no problem at all. And so, my guess is yeah.
Could there be a hefsek issue also? Like if you're doing in the middle, you're in a bracha halal, and you repeat something unnecessarily, and maybe it raises a hefsek.
Yeah, but if it's all praise, it's all considered praise, I can't imagine that that's going to be considered a hefsek. But maybe that's part of the question. Let's see if I have anything back here that addresses that point of doubling. Nothing here, maybe back in the Mishnah, but I don't have that Mishnah with us anymore. I don't think, do I? I'm just going to start on Daf Lamed Zayin. Oh, maybe I do. What that was that mission on again? You remember? How many days it was? I'm an Aleph. Okay, let's see. Yeah, nothing's mentioned here that I'm seeing about this concept of why one should or should not double. Let's look. But I believe repeating words in a zemer is not a problem. Only pesukim, words in a pasuk. Okay, now I think Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Levarach Yivarach. If you had such a minhag, the Mishnah told us, if you had such a minhag to say a bracha, so one should say a bracha. So Gemara says, Amar Abai lo shna ela la'achrav. This debate, this discussion of having a minhag to say a bracha only refers to the bracha after halal. Abalafana of mitzvah Levarach, when it comes to the bracha prior, everybody agrees you're supposed to say a bracha. Damar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvos kulon mivarach alein over aliyasiyasam. Every mitzvah you do, you have to say bracha prior to performing the mitzvah. So we didn't know this yesterday, but Tosos on yesterday's daf, I think it was, a smaller set, the idea is, remember the Gemara addressed what the whole order of halal to do, haluka, haluka, and then you repeat the first pasuk, and then the second pasuk. The Gemara never addressed, well, do you say bracha before, or what's about the bracha? So Tosos there, Dibur Maschel, who, this is Lam Chesim and Beis, told us, it's a quick Tosos, may as I read it, who omer haluka? Shliach tzibur v'atzibur on machrav haluka v'hu shosik achiyana v'hasha'enu v'fine v'hu shosik achiyana. So first it's shliach tzibur says haluka, then the tzibur says haluka, and then the chazan continues the rest of the halal. V'hasha tosa says enu mefarish hayach mevarchin. What about the bracha? Shigam v'atzibur chayvin levarch. They also have to say bracha kodem shiaschil, like we just said. You have to say bracha. So how do you do that? Maybe everyone says it together. They say Baruch Ata Hashem together. What happens is we all say Bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. We finish the Bracha, we pause, Chazan says Haluka, and then we say Haluka. Maybe that's going to be a Hefsek, because you have to say the do a Maisa Mitzvah right after the Bracha. That's not considered a Hefsek, it's considered part of the whole thing. But what comes out from Tosus is that everybody says the Bracha together. The Rambam says, no, the Shliach Tzibur alone says the bracha, and we just say Amen, and we're Yotze through the bracha. So Rav Soloveitchik had this minhag. He said, our custom is to say the bracha. What happens is, we listen to the chazan say it first, then we say Amen. Once you say Amen, you've already been Yotze your mitzvah, like the Rambam says. How can you go ahead and say bracha afterwards? He says, best practice is to really start saying Baruch together before he finishes, either together, or let him start saying it, but then you start...
The whole shiur given by, what's the name of this?
I used to go to Miami.
Special character for Pesach, an older guy. From YU he was. So he said exactly that. He said, "Kan Rav Soloveitchik, you either someone saying it or you say it together."
Right. So that's based on this Tosos and the Rambam, the two different approaches. So now I thought a simple solution was when we say Amen to the Chazan, we're not having in mind to be Yotze. It's when you have bracha, when you have in kavana, so then you're not yotze with the bracha, you're not yotze with the mitzvah. You're just saying amen to respond to his bracha. So that would allow you to still say your own bracha. That's what I thought. But anyways, so the Gemara says again, when the Mishnah addresses the issue of a minhag to say a bracha, that was only in respect to the bracha after halal. But the mitzvah, the bracha prior to halal, everybody agrees you're supposed to say bracha first because over lisiyasam. My master, the Gemara asks, dehai over lishna da kadumehu. The Gemara asks this in a few places. Why does Lashon over mean, how does that indicate beforehand? Over means to pass, not to say prior to. So Gemara brings a couple of psukim to prove the point. Hu de'amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, dichsir, the pasuk says, Vayaret achimatz derech hakikar. He ran the path of the kikar, Vayavor es hakushi, and he passed the kushi, which means that he went before the kushi. Rashi says, Vayavor es hakushi, kidmu larut lefanav. He beat him. He went and ran ahead of him, in front of him. There, that's where we see over means prior to. And Abai brings another pasuk. Abai Amar Mehacha Vahu over Avar Lefneim, and he passed in front of him. So Lashon Avar indicates Lefneim, and then a third pasuk which proves the point. Vibai Zema Mehacha Vayavor Malkam Lefneim Vashem Barashem, and they passed in front of him, and then Hashem was at the head. So three different pasukim all pointing out that over means before him.
Here it says that that Shmuel takes the dashon of over Dasiyatam and not Kodem. So people should know that it has to be immediate before, and there should be no hefsek. Was it Kodem? That's not that you could think that it could be like maybe, you know, a minute before. So over means that you said from Lashon to make sure that people know it's at the moment, right before the moment.
That makes sense, because over means right when he's running in the race. He passes him, now he's right. Over, he just steps in front of him immediately before. Right. Who says this? That's a good shot. It's Pashup shot. It's just Rabbi Arsko giving the simple understanding.
I'm Meiri,
okay. So, we have time to do a very nice, long Tosos, but it's an important Tosos here. Over Lesiasan. Tosos deals with the question of when a person is supposed to say a bracha on Dalaminim, because it becomes very challenging, because the moment you pick up the Dalaminim, you go to the bracha, is it too late already to say the bracha at that point? So let's go through this Tosos. Tosos says, Over Lesiasan. For this very reason, sarach levarach alulav kodem shit lenu. You're supposed to say the bracha prior to picking up the lulav. Dila achashanal, if you've said the bracha after the fact, midagbehe nafik bay. Once you lift up the dalminim, you've already been yotze, kidam rinan b'sof pirkin, like the Gemara tells us later on. So therefore, say a bracha before even picking it up. We don't do that, but that's one suggestion of Tosas. Miu, then he says, lo mistavar klal. He retracts it. It doesn't really make so much sense to do that, to leave the dalminim on the table, say a bracha, and then pick it up. Because the heach yivarech olav, how are you able to say a bracha on something that's not in your hand? V'hu munach b'kli, it's in the box. Ha'amar b'hakom it's rabbi. The Gemara Menachos teaches us, tefillin me'em asai mevarech alein. When do you say a bracha on tefillin? Mishas hanacha ad shas kshira. When you place it on your hand before you tighten it. V'chol shash ein ha'mitzah muzumenes b'yado. Whenever it's not in your hand, la'asos lo mistavar klal yivarech olav. If it's on the table, you can't say a bracha. When you say a bracha on a cookie, and now it's different because it's not necessarily a bracha of birchas mitzvah, but the object is supposed to be in your hand prior to saying the bracha. So this kind of, it doesn't make sense to say bracha while the objects are being placed on the table. Maybe pick up the lulav with the other hadasim and rebels, and right before picking up the esrog, say a bracha, so it's some of the minim on your hand at least. At least you're mekayim part of it biyado. And v'hainu over les yason shemakvin zedzeh, because each of the dal minim are makvin. You can't just say a bracha on one and then the other and then the other. You need all four in your hand. So maybe that's a good etzah to pick up three of them, and then right before you pick up the esrog, say the bracha. That's one good suggestion Tosos makes. Inami, another suggestion he makes, la'ach shenota shneim el shehofich echad mehem. This is how we generally do it. You flip the esrog upside down, and then you're not yotze that way, because kedaminim is sof pirkan. Later on in our parak, we're going to learn kishehifchu, when you turn it upside down, the ain yotze b'mitzvah. So you're not yotze the mitzvah sukkas of dalaminim, rather el derech dilasin, the way it grows. Kedashinon meperak luv v'arava midichsev atse shitim omdim, the way that the wood goes up, that's how you're supposed to hold them. V'afilu nag, then he gives a third suggestion. V'afilu nagit luhu kederech gedilasin. Let's say you want to even hold it the way it's supposed to be held. You could have kavana not to be yotze. That also works. So we have three suggestions in Tosos. Either pick up three of the minim and say a bracha before picking up the esrog, or have the esrog upside down, or have in mind not to be yotze.
What's interesting, the derech gedulos are really on the esrog is face down, because it's heavy and it.
That's what they point out. Really it grows upwards, the piton up, because of the weight, end up hanging. Right. So it's directly, the lesson is really that way. It's just a technical thing that falls over.
It gets a little bit heavier, it's already turned around.
So that's they do address that question.
I was invited Shabbos by somebody in Chile, and he has an esrog in his house, esrog tree.
Oh yeah, in the house?
In the house, he planted it once. I asked him, because you know we learned that Hadar is the Hadar Mishana Lishana. So I asked him if it really is true that it lasts for more than 1 year. He never tried it, so he's going to be one to see.
Yeah, see who goes. In his house.
Yeah, in his house. Yeah, wow. But they were already growing. It's funny. They were already this big.
Don't you need like a whole like a field?
No.
Is it in a
one little tree?
Is it in a pot?
No, he has a little garden. Just had it in the land.
Okay.
It's funny.
Okay, so then the Tosis continues and says, where are we now? Dafagav damer so re'o bezdin de mitzvos einan tzrichen kavana. Mitzvos do not require kavana, so you're still yotze mitzvah when you don't have kavana. Mikol makom bal karcho lo nafik. But you can't be forced to do mitzvah, meaning if you have kavana not to do it, so then you won't be even kind of mitzvah. Okay, sideboard. Inami, another suggestion Tosfos makes is Nami Mishim Delo Gamra Mitzvasa Ad Achar Neanua Dimahai Taima Nami Varchan Antila Sedaim Achar Natila Delo Gamra Mitzvasa Ad Achar Niguf. He said, wait a second. The mitzvah of Dalminum isn't only picking it up, there's also the concept of shaking the Dalminum. So maybe the Nanuim are simply a continuation of the mitzvah, just like washing the hand is the ikar mitzvah, but drying is part of the mitzvah. You could still say the bracha before you've dried your hands. So therefore, you could pick it up regularly, say a bracha prior to doing the shaking. We don't pass in that way, but Tosfos does make such a suggestion. Now, what's interesting about this is that he thinks nanum is part of the mitzvah. That's very important. Okay, the rest of Tosfos we don't have to really do. He does suggest maybe even if the nanum are not ma'akev, he says, you can still be viewed as a hamshach as a mitzvah, and you can still be yotze even after you've been mekayim the ikar mitzvah. And then he even goes on to say, even though you've been yotze the mitzvah, you can still say a bracha after the fact, in general. So this Tosef is very important. There's so many assumptions here in terms of what's the mitzvah of lulav, and how over l'siyas, and how much leeway we have in that mitzvah. It's really a fusion between those two different concepts, and there's a lot to talk about here, but that'll be, I guess, enough for now. Okay, new mission now. We're going into the world of shviyas now. Not easy stuff. The Mishnah this coming Sukkot is Shviyas, so we have this halacha will apply. The Mishnah says, Halokeach lula mechaveiro. A person buys a lula from his friend, bishvias.
But this year, if you take them before Rosh Hashanah, or you can't
So a Shviyas already starts 30 days prior, right? So you get it before Elul. Wouldn't be an issue, I guess. Depends also when it was grown, when you really... we'll see in a second. It might depend on when it takes place on Chanata or when it was grown. So, Halokeach lula mechaveir, a person buys a lula from his friend, b'shvias, during Shemitah year, no sin lo esog b'matana. The seller should give it the esog to him for free. The fish ain rasha lelokcha b'shvias, you're not allowed to buy from him during Shvias. Why can you buy from him during Shvias? So let's go through all the Rashi's in the Mishnah. Rashi tells us halokeach lula mechaveiro. It's a little bit higher up. Halokeach lula mechaveiro. Li nira says Rashi. De halokeach lula me'am ha'aretz karsinan. It really should be am ha'aretz achaveiro, because the hub am ha'aretz kamari. We're dealing with am ha'aretz because that means Gemara. The Gemara tells us v'am ha'aretz legavi chaver lo kari lechaveiro. V'halokeach nami am ha'aretz mitzayis lo nachzik chaver b'chashit. Okay, so we're talking about he changed the gear, so it should be am ha'aretz. Tosis points out, what do you mean? We have so many places in Shas where we call an Amaretz Chavero. Chavero doesn't mean a Chaver versus a Amaretz. It means another person, a friend. Not necessarily a person who's learned, like we use the word Chaver. Chaver can mean friend. Chaver can mean someone who's not a Amaretz. So Tosis leaves the gears of Chavero. Okay. So you're buying from a Chaver, from Amaretz rather. You're buying Dalaminum. So then Rashi continues and says, Nosin lo esog b'matana. He should give you the esog as a present. Chaver shekone hoshana kula mehamaretz. You're buying, you're learned, and you're buying from Amharetz. B'shvias yivakesh mimenu litein lo esog mibmatana. Ask him to please give me the esog as a gift. Why? The fish ain't no rashai. So Rashi says the Gemara is going to explain why you're not allowed to. So some reason you can't buy the esog during Shvias. The Gemara says, before getting to the reasoning of why yet, the Gemara says, lo ratza litein lo. Let's say he doesn't want to give it to you bimatana. He refuses. I worked hard, I want to make money, and I'm not giving it to you as a present. Pay for the esog. So what are you supposed to do then? You need an esog for a sukkis. So Amar Rav Huna, mavli ale dimei esog belulav. You're supposed to be mavli it. So we have a concept that comes to havalah on Shabbos as well. You have a group leader who works only on Shabbos. You can't pay him for his work on Shabbos. You're not allowed to take schar Shabbos. So oftentimes there'll be other days during the week. He'll do other activities on Purim or Pesach or Moed trips. So you're mavliya that, or maybe all the preparation he does during the week. You're mavliya all the schar during the week, and you're not necessarily having the Shabbos stick out. Here too, so you're mavliya the esog with the dalmin. You're buying the dalmin, the whole overall price. You don't buy the lulav here and the esog here. So when it comes this year, you shouldn't buy an esog from one person. You have to buy everything in the same package altogether. Nowadays, you could buy a lulav, a nice dairy lulav from one person, and buy a nice esog from somebody else. You're supposed to buy them together this year for the issue of havalah. Rashi is a little slightly different interpretation of what Havlam means. He says you're supposed to tell him, I'll spend a lot of money on the lulav, and then get him to give you the esrog for free. There's two different purchases. One to just to purchase a lulav, the other one's simply a gift. As opposed to the first way, no, you're buying everything as a package. This way is, no, let me pay $150 for your lulav and give me the esrog for free. So the Gemara says, so v'leisa behedya, just give him the money. Why not buy the esrog? What's the problem with buying the esrog? So here the Gemara tells us, the fee she'ein mosun d'mei peros shvius l'am haaretz. Because you can't give money of the fruit of a shvius to an am haaretz. Why can't you give money? So I can't buy things during the shvius. I can't go to the marketplace and buy something. So Rashi explains as follows. Ein mosun d'mei peros, da Torah amra l'achla v'lo l'schora. The fruit of the shvius is meant to be eaten, not to make money off of it. So you can't do any schora. Shekol peros shvius chayavim l'hisvayar b'shvius. You have to burn or get rid of them during Shvius, all the fruits and all the money made from the fruits. You can't leave it over to make money. So yes, you're allowed to sell fruits of Shvius, but that money has to be used up during the year of Shvius. You can't save it over. The Am Haaretz, Rashi continues and says, Chashudin Alkach, we don't trust them. We don't buy anything from them. Because they're going to have money. You could buy from a chaver, a person who knows. He's selling esrogim. So you're allowed to buy from him an esrog, because that money he's going to end up using during the year and get rid of it during Shvius. So you could trust him. But you can't buy from Am Haaretz, because they're going to save the money over, and it's going to be a violation on your part of Lifnei Iver. How do we see this in the Brice? The Gemara says, four lines from the bottom, the Tanya, the Brice, it teaches us. Ein mosin d'mei peros shvius la'am haaretz. You can't buy something, you can't give any d'mei shvius to an am haaretz, yosim mimazon shloshudos, more than it costs to buy three meals. So let's say it costs $5 to buy for each meal, so let's say $15. You could give him no more than $15, because that's what he's going to have, that's the limit of three meals we allow him to have. So Rashi says, why three meals? Says Rashi, yosim mimazon shloshudos. Aval mazon gimel mosin kidechai, but you're allowed to give him three meals worth. Deika lememar l'suda Shabbos utzach. Maybe he needs the money for a suda Shabbos. V'chaven shehuter me'erev Shabbos huter l'chol yimos haShabbos. So since erev Shabbos, you could give him enough to buy three meals for the Shabbos meals. We allow every single day of the week to give him up till three meals, but no more than that. So that's why we have to have this whole thing of not buying an esog from the am haaretz. Now v'im maser, let's say you do give it over. Rashi explains, Shashachach Mashal, you forgot the halacha. You didn't know the halacha, you forgot the halacha. Now what are you supposed to do? You gave him all this money. So you're violating Lifnei Iver. So the Gemara says, there's an Eitzah still. You could say, Yomar, Hare Malz Halalu, Yihum Chulalina Perish Yeshli Besoch Besi. You could say, the money that I gave over to Am Haaretz is going to be Chal, the Kedusha Shvius that's on the money is going to be Chal on the money that I have in my house, and I'll make sure to get rid of the money. Now, I'm not sure how the mechanics exactly work. Once you gave the money over to the Am Haaretz, how do you have the ability to take the Kedusha of that which is in his hand and bring it over to that which is in your Rishus? I'm not sure how the mechanics exactly work, but that's the Eitzah that you're supposed to do.
No, but he has... It's on the fruit in his house, not on the money.
That's Tosa deals with it in the bottom. See Tosin, look at the bottom Tosin. I didn't see this yet, but Tosin says, "Maos halalu mechulal na perish yeshlu bebesi." But pluksahib shmeisa ditznum bemeruba. It's machlokas. Right. The case of tznum. If you learn parak meruba, ditznum. They have such a machlokas. Gave kerem im yachel lechalal mashe biyad chavero ulmanda. So, are you allowed to do this or not? What in someone else's hand? Could I be remove the kedusha of that which is in somebody else's hand? Ditznum thought yes. The one who thinks aser kasher ma'amol kan. So if you think you can't do that, so what good is the eitzer in this case? This is simply a kanas. Fine, it's a kanas, meaning it's a kanas for the person who is lokech. Lokech violated the eitzer. Lifnei Iver was violated. You're done. In addition to that, we're going to kanas you that you're going to have shvius in your possession. You have to deal with the money you gave him. You have to have that same money of demei shvius to treat it with demei shvius. You violated the eitzer. That's what it seems like from Tosfos.
The whole thing with Shvius is that you're not allowed to it's a little scorer, right? So by definition, once he gives money, then it becomes.
Right. So.
Like what's the pshat? It has kedusha even though you're not allowed to sell it. Is that what?
Yes,
it is?
Exactly. The Gemara talks about. Let's say I take this money now and I buy something else. So I think the Gemara. I think it's in Sukkah. Comes up in a few blocks. So the initial peros that grew in Shavuos is always going to have a kedusha. You have to eat it during Shavuos. And the last thing that you purchase with the money.
Also.
That also, everything in between, it loses the status, but the first and last maintain Kedusha Shavuos, I think, and you have to eat it during the year of Shavuos.
If a regular, if a non-Amaret sells you Peros during Shavuos, why didn't you have the same problem?
Why don't you? Because we trust that he'll be able to eat, he will make sure to get rid of it during the year. He'll take the money and make sure it gets used during that year, and buy fruit and eat the fruit during the Shavuos. And if he sees he has a lot of surplus, he'll make sure to give it to his family and friends, let's say.
And why in this case we don't hold that?
It sounds like from this mission that we would. Why Lemaisa we don't, I'm not sure. That much I don't know why. Nowadays, if you know somebody who knows a little bit about Shavuos, so maybe you should be able to buy from him the Esok directly, knowing he'll finish it up. So I don't know why.
The Isser of Achav Lo'Eschara is Dafka an Isser of Lo'Eschara with the intent of holding the money after Shavuos.
According to Rashi, I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. I think others argue. It comes up in Avodah Zarah as well. Tosas here already quotes a number of other exceptions. I think the difference between the son or you have a shliach who does it for you. It's a large topic. So I really don't know the scope of it, though.
But just one question. Mm-hmm. And if the last fruit falls the kedusha shviis, are you allowed to eat it during shviis or not? What's the
last. So again, I have this money now, which has shviis on it, right? So again, let's say I'm the seller. So I have esog. I sell you an esog of Shavuos. You have an esog of Shavuos. Make sure to eat it when you're done during Shavuos. That's why you have to burn it. You have to get rid of it during the Shavuos year. You can't eat it.
So the hope shot is so why do we allow it if you have to burn it? It's because you could eat it.
You can eat it also.
Right.
So now I have money. I right, sold it. Okay. This money I have to buy new fruit to make sure that fruit gets eaten. And that money which I just sold has now mechula once I buy something else. Okay. So now the Gemara continues to say. So what happens is the one who purchases it, he has to say, that money is chal on my money in the house. So now he, the buyer, the purchaser, has money with Shem Kedusha Shavuos on it. And the Gemara continues to say, in the top of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Uba v'ochlan b'Kedusha Shavuos, he has to go ahead and now eat it with Kedusha Shavuos. What does it mean, Kedusha Shavuos? So Rashi explains the top line of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Uba chaver zeh, the one who knows a little bit about something, v'ochel osam ha'peris b'Kedusha Shavuos, he has to eat it b'Kedusha Shavuos, Achila, which means eating it, v'shisiya, or drinking it, v'sicha, using it as some type of oil, v'adlakas haner, you're also allowed to light candle, you could use it as firewood. Shein hanas hamutars ben kin mefarsh mesecha shviyas, these are some of the permitted uses of shviyas. That's what he has to do.
We're talking about those peros in his house that he transferred the kedusha onto.
Exactly. The Gemara says, b'med v'm amurim, what is this referring to? That you're allowed to buy up until three meals, but no more. That's referring to blokeach mina mufkar. Somebody who buys it from the mufkar, that the halacha is that shviyas has to be mufkar to everybody. It has to be hefker le'anim, hefker le'ashim. You have to remove all your fences, all your gates, and all the fields have to be open. Anybody wants could come take it. So once it's mufkar, so then you're allowed to buy from such an am haaretz. Aval blokeach mina meshumar. If you're buying it from someone who was shomer his field, he protected it, he closed it off, he violated an iser, then you're not even allowed to buy afilu b'chati iser also. You can't even give him a little half a coin, even that you can't give him. Nothing's allowed to be given. You only have to give him mazonos if you kept the halachas of letting the shviyas, these fields be mufkar. But if it's mishumar, then you're not allowed to do that. Okay. Then the Gemara challenges this, and Mesiv Rav Sheshes, he asks, "Umina mufkar gimel sudas v'sulo? Is it really true? So the Amaretz has a sada that is mufkar. So we said before, you're allowed to give him only three meals. Is it really true? Three meals is the limit? You can't give him more than gimel sudos? We have the following question. This is a mission on Shavuos, Perek Tes. Hapigim, I'm not sure what all these things mean. Hirvuzin, Vashitim, Vachalagolag, Vachalaglogos, Vachuspar, Shebaharim, Vakarpa, Shebanaros, Vagargir, Shel Efer, all these types of things, vegetables or fruits that grow from the ground, all these, Pturmina Meiser, they're putter from taking Meiser, Vinikhan Mikoladim Bishvis, and you could buy them from anybody you want, Ein Kayotibem Nishmar. These things are not subject to Shmir. What does that mean? So Rashi tells us, first of all, why these things that are, no one watches these things. If you have this type of vegetable grow, you don't really care about it, you just let it grow and don't protect it. And so therefore it's Patur Min HaMaaser. Rashi explains, this is second narrow line up, Patur Min HaMaaser B'chol HaShanim. Forget Shavuos. Throughout the all the years, it's always going to be Patur Min HaMaaser. Ki D'Mefarash Taima, She'en Kiyotze Ben Nishmar, because you don't ever watch something. So what does Shmir have to do with Maaser? She'en Chashuvin Al Habrios. No one really considers these things significant fruit or vegetables. Anybody who wants could come take them. I don't really mind anybody comes take these berries, let's say. The hefker patur min ha-maaser, that's in general. When something's hefker, it's not chayv in maaser. Dichsiv ubo ha-levi, the levi comes to collect maaser. Ki ein lo chelek v'nachla imcha, because he has no land, he has no other food. This is how he gets supported. B'davar she'en lo chelek v'nachla imcha, yitol ma'asrosav, something that he has no part in, does he have to take maaser from. Yotze hefker leket shech opeya, these things which she'yesh lo chelek imach. That he has a portion, he could come collect the hefker. He comes, gets leket and shechah and pay. That wherever he has a chelek in, that's patur min ha-maaser. Only things that where Levi has no ownership in, is it zichayven. Okay, so that's why these things, since they're hefker, it's patur min ha-maaser. Why are these things allowed to be taken for Shavuos? Why can anybody take them? So why could you buy them during Shavuos? So Rashi says, nikchen mikol adam b'Shavuos. Even though all Shavuos, it's always mutter to hefker. What's different from this vegetable that's hefker during Shavuos? All fruits of Shavuos, even apples and estrogen, are supposed to be hefker to everybody. Even though we don't know this particular case, whether or not a person was mafker or not, this type of vegetable, we don't have to look into who the guy selling it is. We know for sure it was hefker. There's no questions at all. Therefore, Rashi says, "Mosin lo demem." We give money. We could buy from anybody. We're not concerned he's going to hide the money out to save. Alma, we see from here, at least Rashi says, the Mishnah says you could buy from them. There's no limit. Don't say only buy as much as you want. Before we said you could only buy up until Gimel Sudos. Here we say you could buy as much as you want.
We have concern that he's going to use the money for what?
The violation is, the Pasuk says La'achla, and we say La'achla v'lo l'schor.
So you're going to have to try to show with us. It says why? Because we are, because it says because.
He's going to end up eating it, using the money.
And then Isser.
Because, sorry?
That he shouldn't be using the money afterwards. What would he do?
So, with Isser is whenever there's schor, how do we define schor according to Rashi? Whenever it's viewed as surplus, that's already making money, profit. When it's simply for his own parnasa, kidei chayev, that's permitted. You're allowed to give him money that he lives for his meals. But for money to have him get surplus to make a business off of that, that's the Isser of lach of
la schor. Let's say he uses it for something that's luxurious. That's also mutter. As long as he uses it for his own need.
That's a good question. I would imagine not.
I thought Rashi said the Isser was dafka holding it till after Shavuot.
That's
so you're saying a guy buys himself a large property, large house, luxurious something.
Let's say, because Shavuot, there's a long wait till Shavuot is over.
Right.
Shavuot just started, so why would you give him a Shalosh Seudos if he's, the guy's poor, he might be using it for the next 6 months. It's okay that he could use the money.
Right, because if he makes, let's say, he sells every single day, he hopefully gets his meals worth per the day. So any leftover, he leaves over. So tomorrow he'll make another sale, and he'll make more money. So, but it's a good question. What if you buy something during Shavuos? You put your money, make a huge investment in something, or you buy just a property or a house? Or
I would argue in those cases that's as though he bought something for after Shavuos, because he's maintaining the asset after Shavuos.
Right, that's what I think also. Even buying a regular house, just for his bare, let's say a regular, simple home.
But if he buys himself, let's say, a steak at Prime Grill, instead of buying himself Kedei Chayov, that wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
Because he's eating it in Shvi.
Right. Okay. Could be. I don't know. It sounds right, I guess. He says Latsnia, anything to leave over. So you're saying Latsnia means not saving the money, but even saving the assets, which has value, even that would be a violation.
If it was any type of surplus, then it wouldn't make sense. Why is the Gemara saying the Afkanama Arets? Then these issues should be a problem even if you're buying from a chaver, because if you're buying from a chaver and you're paying excessive amounts of money for this, he's running a business out of it. He's taking that money and he's doing
directly.
No, but you could say, since he knows, he'll make sure to give the fruits and money to friends and family to make sure that it gets eaten up during that year. Not for his own self. But I guess you're saying, what's the difference whether he has so much or he gives it to everybody else?
Yeah, I mean,
quantity versus quality. So, yeah, you're probably right, I just don't know enough about this. So this is the question Rav Sheshis poses on our Gemara that sounds from this Mishnah that you could buy as much as you want during Shavuos, if it's something that's hefker. So the Gemara says, "Who mosiv love, who mefarg love?" He asks the question and he answers the question. What does the Gemara mean? Bichdei mon shanu. Bichdei mon. He can't buy as much as he wants. So Rashi said, "Bichdei mon." This is like 10 Y lines down. Bichdei mon. Bichdei mizonosav shanu denikin v'hainu shloshudas. This also means it's limited, even though the Mishnah doesn't say it. It's meant to be qualified by only buying enough for the well-being of the living of the seller, which is just three meals, and they're consistent with each other. And v'chein amar Rabba bar Barchana amar Yochanan b'chdei mon. Mon here means like lashon mon. We'll see in a second what that means. In k'dei mizonos shanu. My mashmid the high mon lishna de mizonahu. How do you find that the word mon refers to mazon? It's very strange usage. So d'chsi v'yamon lehen hamelach. So v'yamon halom hamelach. Rashi tells us is referring to b'tzarchei seuda mishtai kra b'daniel. Referring to in Daniel, say for Daniel, when they're preparing a meal, v'yamon hamelach v'yifarnes hamelach. He organized the meal, so mon implies lashon mazon. I would have thought mon from b'shalach would have been a better proof from the Torah that mon means that was referring to the bread that we ate. I'm not sure why they didn't use that pasuk. Okay, so that's the basics of buying an esrog during Shavuos. The Gemara says, well, ihachi lulav nami. So if we're saying there's such a problem of buying an esrog during Shavuos, so shouldn't there be the same problem of buying lulav during Shavuos as well? So why do you have to buy the lulav for a lot of money and have the esrog nivla in the money of the lulav? So the Gemara says, lulav bar shishis hanichnes l'shavuosu. So lulav really goes after the 6th year into the 7th year, meaning. So Rashi says, "Mishani lulav bar shishis hanichnes l'shavuosu. Da'karchach b'chamishasar yom shemirosh hashanah ad hachag. From Rosh Hashanah, where Shavuos starts, until 15 days of until Sukkot begins, lo gadol. Lulav is not going to grow in that short period of time. V'kaim elan ilan baser chanta azlinan be masechet Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to a tree, it follows when it starts becoming ripe. So, well, it's on a fruit. It's a fruit tree. It's a date tree. So anything that comes from it,
I guess.
I have to assume yes. Never spent much time learning Shavuos. So let's see quickly. Apparently, Gemara later on, Daf Mem, I'm told, is going to discuss the Shavuos. Ah, I see. Gemara talks about Shavuos here in trees and wood. So tomorrow's Daf, which we won't be with each other, that will discuss why Lulav is subject to Shavuos. But either way, that since the Lulav really, I mean, the Lulav which we get during Shemitah is really Lulav from the 6th year. Because it couldn't have grown during those 2 weeks of the start of the Shemitah year. So that's why it's permitted. As opposed to the esrog trees, I don't know, I guess the esrogs that we get are...
I was going to
ask the question. Okay. So, the Gemara says, now, Ihachi esrog nami. Bashishis hachnichas l'shvies. The esrog that we're getting in the circus here is really from the 6th year. You're not collecting them off the trees now during the 2 weeks and mass producing them and selling them during these 2 weeks. So that should also not be subject to it. So the Gemara says, He esrog baser l'kita azlinan. So no, the difference, even though the esrog may have became ripe 2-3 years ago, because we said an esrog could last in the tree for many years, even a few months ago, but when it comes to an esrog, we follow when it lakita, when you took it off the tree. When it comes to a tree itself, like the lulav, it goes based on when it became ripe and when it grew, and the esrog goes based on when you collect it. So still, I would imagine this year, I don't think they collect all the esrogim off the tree at the start of Rosh Hashanah. Maybe during Elul they do it, I don't know. But it seems you could get around the problem if you collect them, if you take them off the tree prior to Elul. I don't know what actually goes on. So, but that's the difference. Esrog goes based on when it's been picked, and lulav goes based on when it grew, when it ripened. So, says the Gemara, V'ha bein Rabbi Gamliel, bein Rabbi Eliezer, le'inin shvius, esrog, Well, as we'll see in a moment, Esrog doesn't go based on Lakita when it was taken off the tree. It goes based on when it became ripe. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, this Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, in Bikurim. It says, Esrog shavel ilan begimel drachim. Esrog is kind of an interesting fruit, that it's similar to a tree in three respects. Uli yerek b'derech echad, and similar to a vegetable in one respect. How? Shavel ilan is similar to a tree. When it comes to one difference between vegetables and fruits, in addition to having a different bracha, the halachas of arla only apply to fruit, not to vegetables. I think also kalaim apply to vegetables, not to fruit. There's a difference. The Gemara in Beit talks about the difference, but one difference is arla. So arla is the first 3 years you can't eat those fruit. The fourth year it's called netel revai. You take it to Yerushalayim to eat. So that only applies to fruit trees. So that esog is similar to a fruit tree in that regard. Arla and revai apply to it. And ulashvius, it's similar to shvius, that Rashi says, last line, ulashvius does linan shvius basar chanta. It's similar in regards to a tree, it's similar to a tree in regards to shvius, that they both follow chanta when it ripens. So this is the question. We said before, esog follows lakita. This Mishnah says it follows chanta. Let's just continue the Mishnah. In Liyarek B'derech Echad, how is an esrog similar to a vegetable? Shebishas Likitaso Isuro Divrei Rabban Gamliel. That the moment you take it off the tree, that's when you're chayv in Meiser. So the halacha is that you can only take Meiser of fruits during the same year, not from 1 year to the next year. So when does the year begin? So the year goes based on when you picked it off, that's part of the same year. So if the one sign was picked off prior to Tu B'Shvat, that's already considered a different year. All goes based on Lakita, if it was collected before Tu B'Shvat or after.
But Pharaoh's goes on
when it grew.
When it grew.
Exactly.
And the other three, and when you're saying, when you think Orla, it goes according to the tree that it's high of Orla.
Exactly. Right. So it's a little complicated, but that's how Esau kind of is three ways like a fruit and one way like a vegetable. That's all according to Rabban Gamliel. Comes along Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Esog Shavel Ilan L'chol Davar, it's equal to a fruit tree in every regard. So therefore, even when it comes to the taking Meiser, it goes based on Chanata. But either way.
We don't get what's the Svar of Rabbi Gamliel.
In terms of, why would it change in terms of Meiser?
Yeah. You know, in terms of,
I think Meiser don't. No, in terms of Meiser. Everyone agrees in terms of Shvius, it's like an Ilan. The only debate is in regards to Meiser, whether it's...
Okay. לחכמים חייבו אף בשאר פירות אילן ובירקות, לגבי גורן וירק, נדרש מן הכתוב שהם שייכים לעניין מעשרות, וכל שאר מצוות להיות בארץ.
Right, so he's quoting from Rashi, which explains the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, that tells us that what's chayv and meiser is gorin yekev. Gorin yekev, which are things that grow on most waters, so too things that grow on most waters. As opposed to vegetables, which grow on all water, all types of water works for vegetable, that is not chayv and meiser. And since esrog, as we saw before, it grows on kol mayim, all types of waters benefits an esrog, it's more similar to a vegetable in that regard, and therefore it's pater, it's a different rule in terms of meiser, it's more like a vegetable. But either way, after all the dust is settled, we see from here, though, at least the question that we have, that we see both opinions think that when it comes to an esog, we go based on the ripening for shvius and not based on the likita for shvius. So if it goes based on the ripening, so you shouldn't have a problem buying esog during shvius. It should be right during the sixth year, or even during the fifth year ripened. During the seventh year, it shouldn't be a problem. Maybe the eighth and ninth year, you should have a problem of buying them, but not during the shemitah year. So the Gemara says, now we may as well just at least get this answer. We'll go a few lines in, unless you guys want to stop here. So the Gemara says, "Hu d'amar," three lines from the top. "Hu d'amar ki haytana." He holds like the following tana. The tana, the Brisa teaches us. Amar Rabbi Yosi av Tulmis Hayid. He testified mishum chamisha zakenim in the name of five elders. Esog echad, esog achal lakita lemaiser. When it comes to ma'aser, we follow the lakita, like Rabbi Gamliel. When you pick it, it's like a vegetable because it grows in all waters. Rabbi Seinu Nimnu Busha, and they came together and made a decision, v'amru, bein l'ma'aser, bein l'shvi'is, whether, not only in regards to ma'aser, but even when it comes to shvi'is, it goes basar lakita when you collect it, not when it ripens. The Gemara says, shvi'is man dachashmei, where in the world does shvi'is come to? We're talking about ma'aser. All of a sudden you throw the word shvi'is. The Gemara says, chasur mechser, there's something missing. Let's tell you, the Brisa meant to say as follows, v'halchi katani. Esog acher lakita l'ma'aser, v'acher chanta l'shvi'is, initially they wanted to say, when it comes to ma'aser, it follows when you pick it. When it comes to shvi'is, it follows when it ripens. That's like the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. However, Rabbi Seinu Nimnu B'Usha, they got together in Usha. When they said, Esog basa l'kita bein l'maiser bein l'shvi'is, it always follows when you pick it, and whether it's in respect to maiser, whether it's with respect to shvi'is, it always goes basa l'kita. And therefore, since we're assuming the Esog was picked during the shvi'is year, during those 2 weeks, so therefore it does have the same Kedusha shvi'is on it, as opposed to a lulav goes based on chanta, which ripened prior to the beginning of shvi'is. That's why you could buy lulav, but you cannot buy esog during the Shemitah year. Okay, so we'll stop here.